as sharing the Word of God with people that haven't heard it. It's an important part of Christian life. So important, in fact, it should only be done by missionaries and pastors, because they are trained professionals. Do you know who begat Elzaphan, or who the Nephilim were? Me neither. What if you're sharing the Word of God and someone asks you these things? You look foolish. Just make a list of all the people these have been deep thoughts.
I was getting nervous because you guys weren't laughing as much as I was hoping. And that's not good. Well, if there's something I've learned, you know, evangelism is just saying that people need Jesus. And if there's something I've learned over this past week is that people need Jesus. And so why don't we pray before we get started here? Father, this morning, help me to stand up, to speak up, and then to shut up. We need to hear from you, and we want to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Well, I say that because many of you may not know the kind of week that I've had in student ministry anyway, and I'm not going to get into major details, but you just need to know. This was a week where, beginning Tuesday and throughout the whole rest of the week, we had students having issues with cutting themselves and wanting to kill themselves. Multiple. And I'm not talking just students that are at schools. I'm talking students in our ministries. We've gotten help for a number of those students. I've been getting, phone calls in the middle of the night of students running away, and we got to find them. And, I mean, it's just all kinds of, it was just a crazy week. Can I just say that? And so I want to publicly apologize to all the audiovisual people for not getting you all my stuff in time. I was rightfully distracted. And so I apologize in advance, and I'm so thankful. Tony, way to go. Way to be a savior this morning, getting things working. And so, but you have an outline in your bulletin, and I don't know how good I'm going to be at sticking to it, because I just want us to go to somewhere else first, if that makes any sense. And I'd like us to take and go to Psalm 139, if you would. If you have your Bibles, Psalms is about in the center of your Bible. If you have electronically, you just hit Psalms, okay? But I want to read from Psalm 139 this morning. And just follow along. And here's what I'd like you to do is just as if you wrote this, just listen as if you're writing this to God. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my beds in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the seas, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for the night will shine like day, for darkness is as light as you. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. We'll stop there for a minute. God created us. He formed us together in our mother's womb. He determined our DNA. And later it says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know what? God has had a plan for each and every person's life. And honestly, this is not written to necessarily believers. This is written to, you know, God's creation. Every one of us is precious. At least I hope we feel that way about people who don't know the Lord yet, that they're precious in God's sight, because they are. Because they're created in His image. He determined their DNA. He cares for them amazingly. And oh, the discussions I've had this week about what does it all matter? What does it all matter? It does matter. Your life matters. My life matters. And don't ever, ever, ever forget that. God made us for a purpose. We are precious in His sight. And our lives matter. And over and over this week, gone over these things. And by the way, I am not the Savior. The song last week that resonates in my mind that we sang was that we are not as strong as we think we are. But I want to be used as much as I can by the Savior. And you do too. And He wants to use you. He has great plans for your life. And I want to beat that and pound that into you as much as I can. Because your life matters. The end of the book of Psalms, the last psalm, the last verse, it says, let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. And so that's talking about we were created to praise the Lord. We were created to be God's blessing, have a relationship with Him that gives praise back to Him. That's what we were created to be. And what I'm finding is many people either don't know that, or they don't believe it, or they don't want to live their life for what they've been created to do. Does that make sense? And so I have a little illustration here that I want to give up front. Not everybody's going to see this. I'll hold it up. This is a hammer and this is a nail. Now, imagine that you were created to be a hammer, okay? And then you just... Hammers work great on nails, okay? That's what a hammer is created to do, is pound things, okay? All right? But suppose you were not created to be a hammer. Suppose you were created to be a bucket, okay? But as a bucket, you say, I don't like being a bucket. I want to be a hammer. And so you decide you're going to be a hammer. And then you start hammering. And this is what happens. And I use this as an illustration to say this. When you are living your life trying to do and be something that you were never created to be, there's brokenness, there's pain, and there's damage. And we are in a culture that is experiencing that big time. Does that make sense? And we were created to be one thing, and that is to be glorifying to God. But we have a culture that either has never heard, or doesn't understand, or doesn't want to live for Jesus. Does that make sense? And so I want to kind of transition into, you know, we want people in this community to know the Lord. I mean, the greatest thing, I mean, I remember when I came back from coming to know the Lord, I came in, I told my family, I was telling everybody because it was exciting to me. I know now that I was going to have eternal life. I have eternal life in Jesus, and my destiny was going to be heaven someday. It was a great thing. And it gave me hope. It gave me an anchor for hanging on to things in tough times. And so I want us to kind of transition now into living life to the full. John 10:10, it says, the thief, The evil one comes to steal and destroy. Okay? That is his plan. And he's trying to steal teenagers by getting them to take their own lives. He's trying to destroy their lives so they can't be testimonies to him. The thief comes to steal and destroy, but I have come, Jesus speaking, that you might have life, and you might have it to the full. God wants us to live this full, abundant, meaningful, purposeful life. And he has, and you know, honestly, I don't think it's that difficult. For me, it seems it's the knowing Jesus and making him known. It's the love God and love others and making disciples. It's that kind of thing put together. Now, there's lots of details, but you know what? It's about having a relationship with the God who created you and created me and being drawn into that relationship so much that, you know what, everything else flows out of that. Does that make sense? And so, three things I put down here that living life to the full involves. First of all, remembering who you are. Last time I spoke on identity, okay, out of Romans, okay, and we spoke on who we are as, and it started out not good, you know. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, right? And so we start off that we were sinners and we need a Savior, and he offers that free gift of eternal life. But our identity is in who we are because of Jesus. We have this relationship. Remember the Lion King illustration, right? For those of you who weren't here, in the Lion King there's a scene where Simba has run away, doesn't want to be the king, and he's the rightful heir and to his father, Mufasa. And then this baboon chases him down and smacks him on the head and says, I know who you are, and then he runs off. You know, his baboon's name is Rafiki, and Rafiki meets him at this pond, and he says, look in the pond. What do you see? And he looks in the pond, and he sees his reflection. He goes, ah, I see me, and I don't like me. Is that where a lot of people are in our culture? We see ourselves, and we don't like who we are. And man, that's so real. And then he goes, look again. And he looks, he does, he looks, and he sees the reflection of his father. And then Rafiki says to him, he goes, he lives in you. And I'm getting, my hairs are standing up in my, from a Disney movie. But I'm saying, that's it. Our identity, if we put our identity in anything in this earth, we're gonna want to kill ourselves. I mean, seriously. Because if our identity is in stuff, what happens when the stuff is gone? If our identity is in position, what happens when we don't have that position? If our identity is in our good looks, what happens when everything starts to sag? Okay, I'm serious. This is a serious thing, you know? I used to read Ecclesiastes 12 where it talks about getting older and go, what is all this? But now I'm reading going, that's not funny, you know? You know, that's just silly, you know? But if you put your identity in all those things, you will come away so sadly disappointed. And our identity has to be in the one who created us, who loves us, who wants a relationship with us, who wants to forgive us and bring us into this amazing family. And so the identity, John 1:12 says, as many as received him, so you believe in Jesus and you believe and you receive, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and suddenly you're a king's kid. Believers in Christ are royalty. We're the king's kid. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so you have this new identity. I was sent these lyrics because, boy, do these lyrics represent where we're at today. It's a song by B. Reith and Lecrae and Gunger sang it. It was kind of a rap. So I'm not going to be very good at rapping for you, but I am going to read it. 6 a.m., she hits the snooze button. The thought of waking up makes her numb. She can't move nothing. Pops a couple pills, thinking it might ease the suffering. Numbs the pain, but leaves the disease untouched. Plus now she's cutting. Tried to live for what the world told her, but ended up empty in the gut. Now she's craving more. Sick to her stomach, hates how she looks, so she overeats and vomits. And that's just a half, because her mom and dad won't give her the attention she needs because they'd rather focus on their jobs and climb the corporate ladder. which basically tells her daughter she doesn't matter. Her heart's shattered, glass is half empty, tries to find a reason to live, can't think of any. But deep underneath the confusion and lies, she knows that she was made to live for more than suicide. It's do or die time. She chooses option one, rises up and sings the anthem from the bottom of her lungs. And it goes on, it's a long. But we have a, whether we like it or not, and whether, for whatever all the reasons are, you come up with a gazillion reasons, we have a hurting culture. And honestly, we have the answer to give them. And it may sound simplistic, but Christ is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. And he can heal. And he can help. You know, I used to have a mentality of win, build, send. Win people to Christ, build them in the faith, send them out. Man, that's old. It's win, heal, build, send anymore. Does that make sense? Because there's so much that baggage that I'm seeing anymore. But for whatever it says, it's where they are, and somehow we got to help them where they are, because Jesus, I really believe, always meets us where we're at. He doesn't want us to stay there, but he always meets us where they're at. You can see that in parable after parable throughout the scriptures and in the meetings that he had in the stories. So, remembering who you are is one of the greatest ways to live a life that's to the full. Secondly, is remembering your calling. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples. All authority on heaven and earth, Jesus says, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. God has given us this call to make disciples, and what it means is to help people to know him and make him known. That's what it is, making disciples and make disciples, making him known, knowing him and making him known. That's what it is. It's what we call in our student ministry the cause. Now, it was the Great Commission is a great term. It came out in the mid-1800s. You know, it was coined to, people were going in co-missionaries. So it was like the Great Co-Mission. That was great, but you know what? Students have no idea what that means. And so, you know, but they're all about causes. I mean, save the whales, help out. I mean, you go to their schools and there's signs up all over their schools about causes that people are raising money for and everything. It's because students want to help. They want to be involved in a cause. Well, we have the cause of all causes. And that is helping people to know Christ, have a relationship with him. And that's our calling. Acts 1:8, Jesus, last thing he did before he left, he's getting ready to go. It's like, okay, listen up, here it is. Says, you know, you will be, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then he went up into the clouds, and they're all watching and staring at him, and, you know, they're like, what do we do now? And then the angels appear and say, hey, what are you looking in the clouds for? And like, good, I get to it, didn't he tell you? Kind of deal, right? And that's our call. You know what? If I tell Jessica, I'm going to run to the store, and while I'm gone, I want you to make your bed. So I run to the store, I come back, and I said, Jessica, did you make your bed? And she says, well, you know what, I put the dishes in the dishwasher away. I said, you know, that's good. I said, but did you make your bed? I said, well, you know what, I went outside and fed the dogs, they've been hungry, and so I fed them. I said, well, that's good, but did you make your bed? And I keep, she does all these things, but did you make your bed? And sometimes I wonder, and I get concerned, if we're involved in so many things that aren't the thing. Does that make sense? Jesus left and he told us, and he's coming back, right? And he's saying, have you let people know about me? Have you done that? And you know, that's what it is. That's the cause of all causes. Not that the other things weren't bad, or aren't, not that the other things are bad, but if we're not involved in that one cause, then I think we're missing the point. 2 Corinthians 5:18, he tells us this is the ministry that God has given us. He says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself in Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is bringing people back together. It's, you know, like if you heard a husband and wife, they got reconciled, that means they're back together. Okay? All right? He reconciled us to himself. And through Christ, so the reason we were brought back to God is because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, brings us back in a right relationship with God if we receive it, right? Just hearing it, knowing it doesn't matter. You got to believe it and receive it. But he reconciled us to himself in Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he's committed us to this message of reconciliation. So we're therefore Christ's ambassadors. In other words, we're his reps. We represent Christ. And as though God were making his appeal through us. You know what? We're God's rep, and we're helping people to get right with God. That's the cause. Okay? God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then Luke 19:10, Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." That's what he did. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So that is the cause. So remembering who you are, that God has made you and created you for a purpose, and then remembering that you have a cause, that you have a calling to let people know about this Savior who can save them. And then finally, I just put a Nike theology, just do it, you know, Nike attitude. James says, you know, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. You know, I always tell people, I am far educated beyond my level of obedience. You know, that's sad. I know far more than I just need to obey what I already know. I'd probably do pretty good, right? You know, and faith without works is dead, and that doesn't mean, you know, that whole subject. But the idea is that when you believe, there's going to be stuff that comes out of that. And so, what I don't want to do is just, on Sunday mornings, give us information. Information is not helpful unless there's something done with it, okay? Information without application leads to no transformation. And transformation is what Jesus is about. He's not trying to make you better. He's trying to take and reform you, transform you, make you a whole new you. And me too. If we're, according to Romans, being daily conformed to the image of Jesus, Romans 8, then daily we got to change. And he's doing that, and the Holy Spirit wants to do that in our lives. And so, we just don't want to be information people. So anyway, how do we go about that? And then we're going to show a video in a second here. You want your friends to know Christ. You want them to know the love for them. You want them to know the plan for them, but you're not very good at it. Well, join the club. You know, I tell people all the time, I'm not very good at things, but I'm going to go down swinging. Okay, I'm going to go down trying and giving it a good shot. Okay, here is one way not to do it.
Hey, my name is Greg Steer, and I want to talk to you about evangelism. You know, don't be freaked out by it, because all you need is a good old Matthew Henry commentary and a bullhorn. It's great, and you need a place where people are going to be, where they're going to be focused, just to kind of go in, talk to, you know, people and be able to share. Oh, my, wrong room. Anyway, let's go in here. Sharing your faith is not as difficult as you think. As a matter of fact, there's somebody over here right now. Hello, sir. Hello.
Dude, I'm on John.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of John, you know, the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." What do you think of that?
I think I'm going to probably be in here a while, though.
Hey, you know what? If you're going to be in there a while, you need something to read. Read that. Check that out.
Oh, man. Dude, I'm going to kill you when I get out of here.
I'll tell you what, you're kind of killing me now. But if you believe in Jesus, you can have eternal life, and all your sins will be flushed away. Let me tell you right now, Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Believe. All right. So, all right. That's not how you share your faith. I guess you could share your faith. You okay in there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. You could share your faith like that, but you don't want it, because you'll probably freak people out and stunt their growth. So, this is what evangelophobia is going to do, is help you learn how to share your faith right, without a bullhorn, without a Matthew Henry commentary. Let's get out of here, because sin stinks. I'm out.
This is my good friend, Greg Steer. I love that video. No, you know, sometimes I think when we think of evangelism and we think of sharing our faith that we got to be somebody like that or we got to stand on the corner. And first of all, I am not high on that kind of stuff because I think, you know, the good news is good news. And when it comes across as bad news, that's bad. Does that make sense? You know, you can make the good news look bad by just your approach. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. But I'm real practical, so I'm just going to give you some real practical ways to do that. So, First of all, be you, okay? You know what? Be you. Everybody else is taken, all right? All right, so don't be anybody else, right? We always look at somebody else and go, oh, gee, if I would. No, God didn't make you them. God made you you, and you need to be you, okay? And you know what? He's given you your own personality, your own gifts, your own strengths, and all those kind of things, and he's given you certain styles. And I'm just going to give you four that I like because they speak up a little bit. I think there's some God-given styles that people have for evangelism. There's talkers, there's stalkers, there's buddies, and there's brains, okay? Let me just kind of talk to you about talkers. They're kind of like Paul in the scripture. Paul was a talker. You go to Acts in chapter 17, and he's just explaining things. He explains things real well. He's a talker, okay? Then you have the stalkers, okay? That was Peter. He was the first one always to speak up, and he was always the last one to shut up. Okay? That was Peter. And he was kind of a stalker. He was kind of an in-your-face guy, okay? Then there's the buddies. You have Priscilla and Aquila in the book of Acts. They're more like friendship kind of people. You have people like Barnabas, who are those kind of who build friendships in people. And then there's the brains, those that are always just have it all down to the T and know exactly what to say and know all their theology right. Like Luke. Luke, you read his books, and man, and he wrote Acts and he wrote Luke. Makes sense. But you know what? When you read there, they're very detailed and very organized, okay? And he was very laid out explanation, very in his approach. And you know what? David in the Psalms was poetic. James was very blunt. John was very deep and descriptive. Mark, he was kind of short and sweet. You know, so everybody all over the place has their different kinds of styles, and God has given you a style. And my encouragement for you is to just use your style. Now, are there things we can learn? Are there things we can grow in areas? Sure there are. But you know what? Somehow that forms your spiritual gifts as well. And so forms the way God wants to use you and to grow you. And so first of all, be you. Everybody else is taken. You're not. So be you. All right? Secondly, and these next two are just, there's a balance between the two, between being relational and relentless. We need to be relational. Man, in this culture, you can pound the truth, but if you don't care about the person, it's not going to matter. What does it say? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's absolutely true. And unless we take time to listen, and we need to be a culture that's better at listening. James said, be quick to listen. Slow to speak and slow to become angry, right? And then, you know, there's a good reason God gave us two ears and one mouth, okay? We should be good listeners, all right? And so be a caring and helping person, a listening person. Listen to them. You know, part of this week for me was just being a listener, you know? A listener and trying to be an encourager as well, but it's just being a listener and just being there. You know, we are the busiest culture I've ever been a part of, which I've not been a part of a lot, but I've been a part of a few. But I've been in some foreign countries, and everything there seems a lot more relaxed. Here, it's like, let's go! You know, and I'm bad at that. You can ask my wife. I am the be still and be still verse in Psalm 46, not very good at, okay? But there are times I need to be still. And then just ask lots of questions. I've learned that I love to ask questions because if I just start with answers, maybe I don't even understand the situation. And it's good to just ask questions. And I love asking spiritual questions to people. You know what? I tell students this all the time, and the same is true of all y'all in here. If all your friends and neighbors and families know you're gone on Sunday mornings, you go to church, they kind of expect you to talk about it. They might not understand it at all, but they kind of expect you to talk about it a little bit because you're there every week. And I think what shocks them is when we don't. You know, because if we don't, then we're really not saying it's just something we do and it's not really part of who we are. Does that make sense? And so, you know, they kind of expect, so, you know, it's been great. And one of the things for me with my neighbor Jim, you know, started off not so good, got pretty good. It's been really good last year. You know what I found out? 2 years ago, he had a daughter who died. And ever since then, he's been drinking a lot more. And it's because he's having a hard time. And you know what? I've talked to him a little bit, but I'm hoping that God will open up his heart to the gospel. It's not going to bring his daughter back, but it'll give him some healing and hope. And sometimes we just need to listen. And then the whole that's balanced with the relentless part. There's an urgency. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men." Verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." You know, there's just this urgency that, you know, we were speaking on in Legacy this month was on stewardship. So we had time management, money and stuff management, and then anger management. And so we played dodgeball for anger management. That was a good game in here. Brought out some real frustrations. Then we talked about anger. It was great. But you know what? One thing about time, and time is your life, is that that's the one. Unlike money, you can't save it. Unlike money, you can't. In other words, you never get it back. You know, you can invest money and sometimes get more back, or if you invest the way I do, you get worse. But you know what? Time is not that way. It's here and it's gone. And somehow there's an urgency. So there's an urgency that says people need Jesus. And then unless, Romans says, unless somebody goes and tells them, how are they going to know? And then there's a balance of we got to find out what they're dealing with and help them. Do you see what I mean? The relational and relentless. So be you and then be relational and be relentless. And then this is just, I'm just going to give you some, I'm a practical guy. So here are some salvation segues, okay? And the idea there is a segue is a transition. And so how do you, you know, just have opportunities to talk to people about the Lord? First of all, I guarantee you, if you will pray every morning when you get up, Lord, give me an opportunity to have a conversation with someone today about you. You begin praying that every day, and you will be amazed how many conversation opportunities you get. First of all, because now you remember you're praying for that. And the Holy Spirit goes, hey, here's so-and-so you've been asking. And it puts them right in front of you, right? But I think we just don't think about it. We pray about, you know, so-and-so's got in the hospital. And we need to pray about those things. But we don't pray about these spiritual things as much. But here's an opportunity. Pray and ask God to give you opportunities. Here's, you know, holiday, by the way, Thanksgiving, Christmas are great opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. Just one thing you can do is just say, hey, what are you thankful for? You know, what are you thankful for? And just listen to what the things they're thankful for. And it's awesome to hear what the things people are thankful for. It's a great thing. And they may ask you, what are you thankful for? And then you get a chance to tell them about Jesus as well. I mean, put in all the other stuff too, because you are thankful for other stuff. But tell them about your Lord. Serve your neighbor or a friend. One of the greatest ways to have an open door to talking about is helping them when there's a need, serving them. You know? I think we just want to give everything to our students, and it teaches them is that they deserve everything, which is not good. Okay? Get out there and serve people. Just find out what, you know, you see your neighbor and see what their needs are and say, hey, can I give you a hand? You know? Our neighbor came over and asked Drew the other day, could you help me load something on his truck? And you just go over there and chances to help out. And you just do that kind of stuff. Snowblower. Okay. Which we'll need soon. ask someone to tell you their story. You know, everybody's got a story. And everybody wants to tell you about themselves. I've learned this. Working with people, everybody wants to tell you about themselves. Have them tell you their story. Because everybody's got one. And you might get a chance to tell yours. Ask people what Christmas means to them. hey, Christmas is coming up. What is Christmas to you guys? You know, what do you guys do? What is it about for you? Ask them what the greatest gift they've ever received is. You know? I'm always telling students to text the students this question. Text their students this question, you know? And they're like, okay. And they'll text them questions because questions aren't threatening. It's just a question. And it's a great way to open opportunities. One of the things we've done with students is a campaign called Share Six Campaign, but these little Life in Six Words books. It's based on that video that I've shown here before, the Life in Six Words video by Propaganda. And so one of the things we ask students to do, we don't want them just handing out these books, but we do want them to write a note to a friend in the front and just say, hey, this book is on a pretty cool video and we're giving them out, and would you just go through it and just tell me what you think? And it's a great way to have a conversation about spiritual things. I've found that students are willing to talk about spiritual things, not always willing to talk about Jesus, okay? Because he is the breaking point. You understand that? Jesus is the stumbling block. He is. And that's okay. But, you know, we'll get to Jesus. We want to bring it to Jesus. But the students all over want to talk about spiritual things. Every time I have a chance, what do you believe? And they'll tell you beliefs that you're like, wow, that's out there, but it's a spiritual belief for them. Okay? Tell someone what you learned at church this morning. We're talking about living life to the full. Man, if you had the perfect ideal life, here's a question you could ask somebody. We're talking about, you know, living a full, meaningful life. What, you know, if you had the perfect, meaningful, full life, what would it look like for you? And just to ask someone that. This week we were talking about that at church. It's okay. It's a non-threatening way to talk to a friend that maybe doesn't go to church, that, hey, we're at church, that knows you do. Does that make sense? And the list can go on and on. I'm a nuts and bolts guy. I like to think about these things. But all of this is because we want to have a care and concern for people's souls. My desire is that every student, well, every person, but I'm focusing on students, every student in Castle Rock have the opportunity to hear, understand, and respond to the good news of Jesus. I can't make them. I can't force them, but I sure can have them, give them an opportunity to hear. I can explain it to them, and I can give them an opportunity to respond. And I really believe if the harvest is plentiful, but we, the workers, are few, if there's people out there that need Jesus and want to know Jesus, then all we need to do is to some of them is tell them. Isn't that awesome? You could just go home and tell somebody that's been waiting for you. That's pretty cool. Anyway, I'm going to pray, and we're going to have the worship team come up and lead one more song. So while I'm praying, you guys can come on up. Let's pray. Father, I'm so, so grateful that you chased me down when I didn't care anything about you. As a matter of fact, I didn't want anything to do with you. But you were relentless with me. You sent relational people to me. And Father, I wonder how much you want to do that with us. I really believe you do. And I pray that we'll be those people who will answer this calling, who will remember who we are, and who will be doers of the word, not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Please stand. Thank you.